Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Economic SOS News That You Can Use podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Novus. Tonight, I want to look at a slight deviation from the podcast where we hit the hot news, the burning issues, the concerns, and the media outrage of many Americans for the lack of real coverage in the media. Tonight, I want to talk about health. And I will throw out one story that's not directly related to your physical health as it pertains to food and nutrition, but psychological health. So let's get started. The first story I want to cover tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is out of San Francisco. Yes, that state on the left, depending on where you're standing, that everyone talks about is falling into the ocean, or will soon. May have a massive earthquake, but ladies and gentlemen, here's an interesting thought, that San Francisco may be one of the states that is bankrupt, may be on the precipice of falling off the economic cliff, falling off the continental shelf into the ocean if the big one hits, but they are one of the more progressive states, one of the more active states about looking out for the citizens' health. This story from Mercola.com, San Francisco bans sodas from vending machines. Under an executive order from San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, sodas such as Coke, Pepsi, and Fanta Orange are no longer allowed in vending machines on city property. Some of their diet counterparts are still allowed. The ban includes non-diet soda, sports drinks, and artificially sweetened water. Juice must be 100% fruit or vegetable juice with no added sweeteners, and diet sodas can be no more than 25% of the items offered. The San Francisco Chronicle reports, it is all part of Newsom's effort to combat obesity and improve San Francisco's health, similar to a national effort being championed by the First Lady Michelle Obama. The mayor's administration points to studies linking soda to obesity, including a UCLA one released last year that found adults who drank at least one soda a day are 27% more likely to be obese than others who don't. And there are other comments on the article, but ladies and gentlemen, here's an interesting thought. This city that is bankrupt, this state, is deciding that it's more important to cut out the sugary sodas and drinks that are in the vending machines there, then worry about the revenue that they generate. Because, ladies and gentlemen, these machines do generate massive amounts of revenue for the state. And they're deciding that this is one way to try and combat the growing health concerns that are happening, not just in California, really not just in the United States, but worldwide, as the monsters, the giants of soda, Coke and Pepsi, are all over the world right now, peddling their version of refreshment when it's not just them, ladies and gentlemen, because the soda companies are giving you what you're asking for, even though our knowledge has increased with the effects of sugar on the body. We need to understand that they're in business to make money, not in the business to keep us healthy. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. But needless to say, kudos to San Francisco and the Bay Area for doing this. Mayor Newsom, keep up the fight. And anyone in San Francisco, write the man a letter, send him an email. In fact, I'll do one myself, but this needs to be a step that needs to go across the country. We need to pull the sodas out of vending machines, especially in every school, even though the school systems receive major money from these companies, but it's killing our children. They're becoming obese not just with the sodas, but the sodas are causing them to want to eat more and more and more, as the sugar does. It stimulates that sensitive part of the brain that tells you that you need to eat more, that you're continuously hungry. So we need to start looking at what it's doing to us long term. The short-term satisfaction of having a nice cold soda in the summertime or even in the winter for many people has to be secondary to our health. So, with that, I want to go to another article. And this one, actually, it's a quote from a gentleman who wrote a book called Medicine, M-E-D-I-S-I-N. Since health is a natural state, why is it so hard to achieve? Why does it cost so much to get medical treatments? Why do we remain sick after the treatment? Furthermore, why are natural treatments so rarely used and difficult to find? And why are those who attempt to provide natural treatments hounded by regulatory agencies? In an attempt to answer these questions, we examine the aspects of, quote, healthcare, unquote, which are not about care, but disease management. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that short quote comes from the website of Dr. Scott Whitaker, who wrote a book called Medicine, M-E-D-I-S-I-N. And he titled the book that because he feels that it is a sin the way the medical establishment is treating people. As he put, the case is not for cure, it's for disease management. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this, not just to promote his book, but he is among a growing number of doctors who are understanding that medicine, that cure has to be the utmost highest in the mind of a physician who takes the Hippocratic Oath, or the Oath of Imhotep. Search Imhotep and see who he really was, ladies and gentlemen, the real father of medicine. The oath is physicians take an oath to do no harm. And by prescribing medication that they may not have even read the literature on to see the side effects on their patients, they're taking the word of the drug company reps that it will do more good than harm. But as we've seen with Avandia, as we've seen with Vioxx, as we've seen with Celebrex and Botox and a host of other drugs that come on the market and are approved by our own Food and Drug Administration, they do more harm than good. They do more harm, but the media intentionally keeps that harm out of the ear waves through radio, from the television, and we're bombarded with a massive advertising campaign to convince everyone that they have a problem that a drug can solve. So this is a website. If you have a chance, ladies and gentlemen, go to it, www.medicines.net, M-E-D-I-S-I-N-S.net. His name, Scott Whitaker. And he has some very good information on his website, testimonials, why this book is important for the health of our future. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're headed for a time where the future is really shaky for so many people. Bloomberg put out an article today, July the 27th. Home vacancies rise as U.S. ownership falls to the lowest in decades. And I'll just read a couple of paragraphs in here because this is tantamount to our health as well, and I'll explain after I read the article. About 18.9 million in the U.S. stood empty during the second quarter of the surging foreclosures. Help pushed ownership to the lowest level in decades. The number of vacant properties, including foreclosure residences for sale and vacation homes, rose from 18.6 million in the year earlier, the U.S. Census Bureau said in a report today. The ownership rate, meaning households that own, now this is the way they put it, says meaning households that own their own residence, and it should be homeowners that own their own residence, was 6.9%, the lowest since 1999. Lenders are accelerating foreclosures as borrowers fall behind in mortgage payments after the worst housing crash since the Great Depression. A record 269,962,000 U.S. homes were seized in the second quarter, according to Realty Track, Inc. Foreclosures probably will top 1 million this year, the Irvine, California company says in its July 15th report. There are a lot of people losing their homes and either moving in with family or renting places to live, says Patrick Newport, an economist with IHS Global Insights in Lexington, Massachusetts. Foreclosures are still going up. The share of homes empty and for sale, known as the vacancy rate, was 2.5%, matching the year earlier period and down from 2.6 in the first quarter, the Census Bureau says. The home ownership rate fell from 67.1% in the first quarter, the third straight decline. The rate reached a record high of 69.2% in the second quarter of 2004. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know most people, when they start hearing statistics and percentages and points and quarters, sort of gloss over it, goes over their head. But the bottom line is, unlike what you keep hearing on the evening news, the housing starts is not a true indicator of the economy. It's not an indicator that the economy is getting better, because these people are losing their homes, and RealtyTrack has been tracking this for months, if not years. And it says also, just one more paragraph, bank seizures could also be counted as vacant properties for sale or for rent, or as owner-occupied homes if lenders haven't evicted previous owners, the federal agency says. There were 2 million empty homes for sale in the second quarter, up from 1.9 million a year earlier. And as I said, ladies and gentlemen, most people look at this and say, if it's not me, it's not affecting me. Well, here's two things to chew on. Number one, the property values, as we have seen in just about every state, are dropping because the foreclosure rate is driving people out of their homes and into the streets, into apartments, into homes with family members or friends. So there is no property money, no property tax coming in from those homes. So schools, roads, counties are suffering, laying off police department, policemen and firemen, because of that lost revenue. So if you think it's not affecting you, think again. Your taxes will go up if it's not rectified, ladies and gentlemen. Sales taxes will go up. Revenue streams, such as the police writing more tickets to make up for that shortfall, will affect you and someone that you know. And secondly, when we talk about health, our physical health is vital, but our mental health is just as important. And think of the damage that this is doing across the country. When people are losing their homes and they're forced out of the homes, that place that they put so much effort to into making it a haven for themselves and their families, when you lose it and you struggle so much to maintain it, it affects you psychologically. It makes you feel like you can't do anything successful. How did this happen to you? Things were so wonderful months ago, a year ago, but now you're in a position where you can't manage, and some through no fault of your own. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this health of our society is going to get worse as the foreclosure rates start to go up, because people's psyche is going to be affected. And do we have solutions? The politicians have no solutions, ladies and gentlemen. Local governments have no solutions. And it seems many of them are more content to keep you focused on the midterm elections, the most important elections of our time. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the most important. The most important elections of our time is what we elect to do with our own resources, with our own minds, with our own collective communities. The vote has to be helping one another, spreading the information of success, spreading the information of health and wellness, physically and mentally. It's taking someone out for a smoothie and talking to them, or even listening to their situations and helping to formulate a plan if they will let you do that with them. It doesn't mean that you have to be a successful business person to do it. It means that you have to be concerned. Because right now, ladies and gentlemen, with millions and millions of people lost in the unemployment rolls, with millions on food stamps, we've got to come back to community, because what we're running to right now is a system that is conning and lying to us on every front. And here's an article that I haven't read, and I apologize, the first five episodes, or excuse me, excerpts of this, but I'll read this one because it comes from a very credible source, Mike Adams at naturalnews.com. The title of the article, "The American Cancer Society Runs with the Money and Away from the Cure." And this is part 6. But it talks about previous installments of the series. We examine the close relationship between the American Cancer Society, or ACS, has had with the chemical industry. Today, we will take a look at the relationship the American Cancer Society has had with the mammograms, or mammography, and other industries that profit from cancer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? Let's take a look at the industry, the relationship the American Cancer Society has had with the mammography and other industries that profit from cancer. Now, the commercials that you see on television all the time, the ads in newspapers and magazines, talk about the American Cancer Society sponsoring events, the Susan G. Komen Foundation Race for the Cure, but they're saying that this is about profit and not curing anyone? Let's continue. Despite increasing studies and reports which have warned of the dangers and questionable benefits of mammograms, the American Cancer Society continues to promote mammograms and lure women of all ages into mammography centers. By doing so, the American Cancer Society helps provide patients and huge profits to manufacturers of mammogram machines and film, excuse me. Thus, the American Cancer Society continues in virtually all of its important actions to be strongly linked with the mammography industry, ignores the development of alternatives to mammography, and exposes premenopausal women to radiation hazards from the mammograms with little or no evidence of benefits. Why would the American Cancer Society, whose mission is supposed to be preventing and finding a cure for cancer, continue to stand so firmly behind the use of mammograms? Perhaps part of the answer comes from the fact that no fewer than 5 radiologists have served as ACS presidents. In addition, the mammography industry conducts research for the American Cancer Society and its grantees, serves as an advisory board, and donates considerable funds. For example, DuPont, a chemical company, a leading mammography company. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? DuPont, the chemical company, is a leading mammography company as well as a leading producer of toxic and carcinogenic chemicals, so they're making money on both ends. Has been a substantial backer of the American Cancer Society Breast Health Awareness Program. DuPont has also sponsored television shows and other media productions touting mammography, produced promotional literature for hospitals, clinics, doctors, and medical organizations, produced educational films, and lobbied Congress for legislation prompting the availability of mammography services. Now, a little bit more extensively, ladies and gentlemen, but you can go to naturalnews.com and look for the article, because I wanted to jump down to another company that is very prominent on many television shows. It's called AstraZeneca, and it's a tagline at the end of their pharmaceutical drug ads that always says, if you can't afford your medicine, AstraZeneca may be able to help. And the question was, when I heard this the first time, how are they able to help? Here's why. While the country is awash in a sea of pink every year, what is conspicuously absent during the Breast Cancer Awareness Month is any information or environmental and other avoidable causes of breast cancer. This has not been by accident. Breast Cancer Awareness Month was created by Imperial Chemicals, now called AstraZeneca, which happened to be one of the world's largest manufacturer of chemical carcinogens. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, they have the money to give away the poisons, to get you hooked, give you a 30, 60, 90-day supply, and then you scrape up what little you have because you say the doctors tell you that you need the drugs or it may kill you, so you get the money. Continuing, AstraZeneca owns a string of Salic Health Centers, cancer centers in the U.S. hospitals. AstraZeneca's subsidiary, AstraZeneca Pharmaceuticals, is also the manufacturer of tamoxifen, the world's top-selling anti-cancer and breast cancer prevention drugs. In the 1990s, the American Cancer Society aggressively launched and promoted a chemo prevention program along with the National Society Institute to recruit 16,000 healthy yet supposedly high-risk women for a five-year clinical trial with high profitable drugs, nuts such as tamoxifen. The women were told tamoxifen was essentially harmless and could reduce their risk of breast cancer. They were not told that tamoxifen was a highly potent liver drug in rodents test or that it was well known to aggressively target the human uterine for cancer. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we are being poisoned all over. And I remember there was a tie-in a few months ago with Kentucky Fried Chicken and the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation, where the Kentucky Fried Chicken boxes or buckets were pink. And if you went in, you could donate money to the American Cancer Society or the Susan G. Komen Foundation. But you know as well as I do, if you went in to donate or sponsor and help the cure, that you were going to buy some of the chicken. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's called joint venture marketing, where a company decides we can help you if you help us. We'll help you promote your product while people come in and buy ours, and they'll feel so compelled to do it because of brand recognition, because of commercialization. Ladies and gentlemen, our health is supposed to be our wealth, our most important aspect in this experience we call life, and we're throwing it away because corporations are telling us that they're helping us, that they're making life better for us. They're telling us that we can spend less and live better. Spend less and live well, whatever the tagline is that Walmart has. But Walmart has some of the cheapest plastic knickknacks, some of the worst ratings around the world for their consumer goods, and they are just as cheap as they can be, but many of us feel that need to want to buy them. Many of us feel that urging to just want to spend a few dollars because we've been taught in this culture that spending is good. You shop until you drop. You go out and open your wallet and put the plastic on the counter because it gives you a sense of belonging. And we've got to change that paradigm in our thinking, ladies and gentlemen. It's okay to go and shop, but buy something that you need. Buy something that's going to turn your health around. Stop buying the sugary sodas and buy a juicer and some fresh fruit and juice and vegetables from the farmer's market and make your own. Buy some water and drink water, ladies and gentlemen, as the heat index in many parts of the East Coast and I'm sure across the country are sweltering in the 90s and 100s, your body needs water more than it does any beverage out of a machine or the store, whether it's the ones that talk about putting the electrolytes back, which for the life of me, I still don't understand what the electrolytes are, because people survived for centuries before there was Gatorade, Powerade, and every other sport aid drink that athletes are promoting. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's about time to get back to the basics. It's about getting back to a form of lifestyle where we can take care of ourselves. Dr. Whitaker, in his book, talks about effective, natural methods for healing disease, eliminating the problems that we face. But the challenge is you can't do it if you're putting poisons in your body. And part of the poisons, a large part of the poisons, are mental. Yes, when we lose our home, our job, but everything else is falling down around us, we've got to find an anchor, a piece of stability in the storm. And that comes from family and friends being able to help you. It comes from your health being your most important asset, because you can't get better, even mentally, if your body won't follow. We've got to change the paradigm of where we are going right now, ladies and gentlemen, in society, because there are more stories like this on natural news other than the American Cancer Society, other than the American Diabetes Association. You see, ladies and gentlemen, all of these organizations are funded by chemical. I won't say all, but the majority are funded by chemical companies. Why do you think there has not been a cure for cancer? Why is there no cure for diabetes? Why do you think there's no real programs to stop smoking? the American Lung Association has been talking about fighting lung cancer for years and years and years, ladies and gentlemen. These organizations are as old as I am, and I'm in my 40s. It doesn't take that long to come up with a cure if you truly want one. The studies are out across the country and around the world about the importance of vitamin C. Vitamin C, ladies and gentlemen, most people get from the sun by being out in the sun about 30 minutes a day, not in the heat of the sun, but in the morning, in the afternoon, about exercising, getting your body to move in it so that it produces that vitamin D. It's about changing the foods that you eat, from the hamburgers, the greasy French fries, the Frankenstein fish that they're creating. FDA moves closer to approval of salmon Frankenstein, also in naturalnews.com, July 14th article. The Food and Drug Administration appears to be close to approving the first genetically engineered animal. The first genetically approved animal, the seafood of salmon. Now, many of you, I'm sure, remember Dolly, the cloning of the sheep. Watch PBS, BBC, and they're talking about the fact that they can reproduce ears and heart valves and different things from cloning. Now we're going to have fish that are going to be genetically engineered. And you may think there's nothing wrong if the salmon will stay nice and pink on the plate or in the market so that I can get it and buy it, it lasts longer. But what if these fish, ladies and gentlemen, are introduced into the wild? What happens to the fish population? You see, we've been so mesmerized by the talk of the oil spill about capping the oil well. How many of you really know that what's being done, this blackout, this media coverage that is dominated by BP, has been to suppress a lot of the information about the thousands of people that are getting sick from breathing the toxic fumes on the Gulf, the hundreds that have gone into medical centers in Florida because of the poisoning? And where are they getting their drinking water? Does it still come from the Gulf? Can the systems handle filtering out crude oil? Are they getting it from other states? You see, ladies and gentlemen, all of this seeps into the environment. All of this soaks into the water table. And they may be able to filter some of this out, but these stories are not being talked about because BP is controlling what information gets out. And isn't it a coincidence that BP is deciding that Mr. Hayward, the CEO, is going to be replaced by an American? He'll walk away, ladies and gentlemen, with countless billions for being the former CEO of BP. But the reason, in my opinion, that they're replacing him with an American is because it's time to have an American to tell other Americans it's going to be okay. You can trust me. I'm an American. You can believe that I won't let people die over this oil spill, and we won't leave until it's cleaned up and you're compensated for your pain and your health concerns. Even though the real fact is, ladies and gentlemen, that the people that are working for BP on those boats helping to skim the oil won't be able to claim the full amount of restitution from BP, because whatever they're getting paid right now goes against any future claims that they make to BP about losing their money, their business, their homes, their cars. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's very scary. And it's very, very challenging for many people, because if you look at the news, you've got to look at it with a critical eye and then go to the internet, look at the Drudge Report, look at Infowars.com, look at SteveQuayle.com, look at NaturalNews.com or Color.com, and then come back to news that you can use, the podcast, and see. I try to bring you information and news from some of the various sources, but we've got to get this information out to other people. And I know many people don't want to believe that we're headed for a cataclysm. Many people want to believe that everything is okay if it doesn't affect their household or their job. But ladies and gentlemen, I've repeatedly said this for over a year, that if the property values continue, your taxes, some form or fashion, will go up. The crime rate will go up. That's going to affect you directly if you're walking down the street, as a gentleman was in Oakland, California, and was beaten for $17 in his wallet. New Jersey, another state in financial turmoil. The city of Newark, basically bankrupt. Parts of Florida, ladies and gentlemen, 46, if not 47 states are bankrupt. 100 plus banks have been turned over, turned into the FDIC receivership because they've gone under. Why? Because on one hand, the government is telling us the secret banks, the Treasury, the Federal Reserve is telling us that we're helping you by keeping interest rates down and we're going to keep helping you as much as we can. But with the other hand, they're shoveling money into offshore accounts. They're bailing out banks overseas because they made bad investments with AIG and other companies in this country. They're paying their off the bad debts. And China is talking right now, ladies and gentlemen, a brief sidebar to the economics. They're talking about pulling their credit card, the loans, the amount of money that they buy our bonds and our debt with, basically cutting us off, making arrangements with other countries to drop the dollar as favored status. And if that happens, ladies and gentlemen, we won't be able to borrow money from anyone around the world, and it will be a real collapse. So you see, how does all of this tie into health? It all ties into your health because once you get to a point, ladies and gentlemen, where you're not continuously filling your body with processed and artificial foods that only stimulate the nerve centers in your brain and your stomach to continually eat more but give you very little nutrition. Once you can get to a point to clear some of the garbage out, you'll be able to see a lot better. You'll be able to frame your conversations with friends and family better. You'll be able to understand and become aware of your surroundings and be able to see through the illusions that are being put forth through television, through radio, and even some internet sites and news sites that are giving you nothing but regurgitated garbage. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's no possible way for us to be in a recovery right now with millions of people on food stamps, millions of people homeless, living in tents, and even in places where they have to live that way. The cities are telling them that we can't have you to live in these tents unless we tell you where to live. It sounds like, ladies and gentlemen, concentration camps. Slightly voluntary, but they're telling you that these are national forest grounds, or these are historic preservations, that you can't sleep on these grounds. Where are they supposed to sleep if you've lost everything and all you have is the clothes on your back and a tent and a community? You have to go somewhere, ladies and gentlemen. So I say to you that start looking at your health as a catapult to other things that can change in your life. Once you start eating better, you'll start thinking better, clearer, more informed about what's happening around you. Because if you continue to believe the lies that are being put forth to you by the various media organizations, what we'll see is another 1984. George Orwell did that movie many, many years ago. And if you have the chance, really make the time. One night, one weekend, sit there with a box or a bowl of popcorn and use some sparkling water and watch the movie. And don't just look at it and say, oh, that could never happen. Look at the similarities about that movie and what has happened in this country and around the world since September 11th, since our rights have been taken away, since our liberties are diminishing, since we've created, or government has created, entities that listen to every phone call, every email, still faxes, every type of communication that we share with one another, all in the name of terrorism. And ladies and gentlemen, search the word Al-Qaeda. Search the word Al-Qaeda and learn and understand that there's no real Al-Qaeda in this war on terror. They're just CIA organizations creating an enemy, creating a boogeyman, just like the USSR was the boogeyman to the United States for so many years. Now we've got a new one, terror. But ladies and gentlemen, ask yourself, have we really won a war? Have we won the war on obesity? Have we won the war on drugs, the war on poverty, the war on discrimination? You see, my belief is that all of these so-called wars have been nothing more been contrived and created to keep us, the masses, the public, believing that someone is going to save us and take care of us. So we hand over our votes in the form of the ballot box, electronic voting, and all of these other things, believing that someone is going to fix the problem outside of us. And we send representatives, elected representatives to Washington. We elect the president. We elect congressmen and senators who are supposed to be looking out for us. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth is they've been looking out for themselves long before Barack Obama was in office, long before George Bush, the son, George Bush, the father, Clinton, Reagan, and many, many others. We have got to start looking out for ourselves, because it's not going to get better until we realize that this is a game that's being played on us. So, start out with your health. Start out with a fresh glass of water in the morning, with a good breakfast, fruit that you can digest, and stay away from the processed foods, because what that is doing to your body, your doctors are going to tell you, because they, ladies and gentlemen, many of them are in collusion with the pharmaceutical companies, with the medical cartel that creates a patient for them and for the industry long after they're gone. I'm your host, Daryl Nobles, on this edition of News That You Can Use, and I hope you got some insight into this. And if you have, or you have questions, or even comments, you can email me from my page. I'd love to hear them. Until we talk again on Thursday, your health is your wealth, ladies and gentlemen.